probably some of those little bitty crystal burgers would sure be good. And by the way, if you want to know, if you grow up eating crystal burgers by the dozen, you grow up to look like me. So I'm just, that's a warning from your Surgeon General there, okay? Mystery is an interesting word. I don't know why you'd want to incorporate that involving a restaurant, but it's a very important word for you and I as Christians. A mystery in the New Testament, whenever we talk about a mystery, it is a revelation that is about, it's a divine truth, let's say it that way, a divine truth that has not been previously revealed, okay? And so while we're talking, and I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 4, while we're talking about these things, of course, I think you'll see here in a little bit about how appropriate that this is that we consider this particular topic for Veterans Day and appreciating our warriors. So 1 Corinthians 4, the first two verses. 1 Corinthians 4, 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So if you're not familiar with that passage, you might want to highlight it in some way. But let's, for the moment, let's stop and let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come with our praise indeed. We do thank you, Lord, for the grace that you show us by revealing more and more of yourself to us day by day as we walk with you. We thank you, Lord, for the great pleasure of the fellowship with you, with the Holy Spirit of our Savior Christ. He is moving among us even now in this time of worship. As we celebrate the resurrection, as we come and you're looking to your holy word, it is your Holy Spirit that illuminates and magnifies this word for us. Lord, help us to see that this word is for us as your children. A letter of instruction. It's a word of warning. And Lord, it's a word of encouragement. So Lord, help us to allow your Holy Spirit to apply your word, your truth to our hearts, that our lives may be changed as the ministers of Christ. For we pray in the name of our Savior. Amen. So before I go any further, we're going to get to the point where I need for you to understand something. There's such thing as a conspiracy. How many of you believe in conspiracies? Raise your hand if you believe in conspiracies. So most of us believe in conspiracies. Okay, so you've read your account of Julius Caesar. And he said what? He said, et tu, Brute? You too, Brutus, right? And you, Brutus? Because there was what? There were a bunch of senators taking a slice that day, right? And so apparently, before he died, he recognized someone who he thought was his great friend. So obviously, we go back thousands of years with that, right? Obviously, there are conspiracies. And then there are conspiracy theories, right? Please understand something. Because something gets labeled a conspiracy theory doesn't mean that it's not that a conspiracy has not been involved. Because some of the things I want to tell you, some people will tell you that I'm a conspiracy theorist. And for those people, I have three words. The Warren Report, okay? And if you know anything about the assassination of John Kennedy, you know what I'm talking about right now. So there's a farce that has been foisted upon the American people for a long time. And we're finding out more and more about that all the time as they, after decades, release the records about what they claim was just one man, one insane lone gunman that murdered the president. But we've got to keep all these records secret for generation after generation. Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds reasonable to me. So we are stewards of mysteries. And one of the great mysteries, and also in Corinthians, we won't have to go there, but 1 Corinthians 15, we like that chapter because it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed, right? And what is that talking about? Well, Paul is talking in that particular place, he's talking about the fact that we'll be changed from what we are, and in fact, where we are, because he's talking specifically about the rapture. He's saying, don't be discouraged that people are dying that you love, and you're expecting the Lord to come back by then. Some people have gone, some people sleep or have died, but those of us who do not sleep will not prevent those who are asleep from being raised up. In other words, he's saying, the Lord is going to get his bride. We're all going to go home, okay? And so, but there's a change. And here's what I want you to see is one of the things about being a Christian as a steward of the mysteries is that we must, what? All change. We must continually change. Because if we're not changing, we're not becoming more like Christ. Do we see that? That's incredibly important. Because if all that we are is the same creature that Christ has made us when he made us a new creature, we're just like that. Well, it's just like a baby that's born. That's a wonderful thing. How cute, how beautiful. What a wonderful thing. But if a baby looks like that after 20 years, there's something horrible about it, isn't it? I will never forget when I was a little boy a long time ago, my mother took me to a friend of hers, the home of a friend of hers, and I'd never been there before, but they had a child, quote, child, who was had some just tragic limitations. And so this girl, who was actually old enough to be a woman, was still kept in like a baby bed kind of thing. And if you can imagine a five-year-old or whatever I was seeing someone who had those kinds of challenges and in a baby bed, it's a memory I will never lose. But I want you to think about that is, as a Christian, am I growing? Am I changing? Am I allowing the Lord to make me not just the creature that is fit for heaven? Because, dear brother or sister, if Christ is your Savior, if he has changed your heart, you're going to heaven. There's no power in heaven or hell that's going to change that. Nothing is going to change that. But we are going to be judged according to the opportunities that he's given us to what? To minister and to change. Changing is part of that ministry. So let's look at that for just a moment. It's going to, I hope, be a little more clearly, because it says, we shall all be changed. Into what? Into what are we being changed? Well, not only to that that perfectness that can go to heaven. You see, dear brother or sister, everything about you that is less than perfect will be left behind when the Lord takes you to heaven. Now, I always ask people, so how hard are you going to be, how difficult will it be for folks to recognize you when they get to heaven with you? Isn't that a question we ought to think about? Everything about me that's not perfect will be left behind. And how much as a percentage do I think is going to make it to heaven? You see, that's something we ought to consider, because people, as we're walking with Christ, ought to see more and more of Christ in us. So what are we being changed into? First of all, I want to go to Romans, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in Romans 12. This is a passage that you know very well, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, that concept of change again, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so when we say, well, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, what are we being changed into between now and the rapture? That process continues. From the time that we came to Christ as a babe in Christ until the time that we are raptured, or the time we pass through that portal we call death, we should be changing day by day more and more like our Savior Christ. So here's the thing. The first thing is that we are changed into brothers and sisters. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. and sisters. In other words, we have entered, listen, this is very important, the family of God. Now, I really like that song by the Gaithers, don't you? I'm so glad I'm a part of. Yeah, come on, sing. Sing it with me now. So it's a wonderful concept, isn't it? Because, see, we once had a different father. Listen, we once had a different father. You once were children of wrath. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Even you were once children of wrath. What does that mean? Well, part of it means is that we have committed wrathful acts, but also that we were destined to receive wrath because of the sin of our lives. Okay? So you once were children of wrath, but now you're the children of light. Why? Because the Savior who is the light of the world is your Lord. Okay? So we are all part of the family of God. And what did I just say? All meaning those who are Christians. Not all people. Please hear this. There's a reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's because they're enemies of God. And if you're part of the family, the enemy of the Father, guess what? It's supposed to be your enemy. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so when we think about this, I want you to consider that people give indication about whose family they belong to all the time. People live according to the standards of their family. Right? I want to share this with you. This is the part about the conspiracy theory. This is not theory. These are historical facts. And some people will say some things about them beyond what I say or different than what I say. But here's some things that I can tell you that are true. One is, during World War II, there was a fellow named Draza Mihailovic. And I'm probably saying that name wrong. It's a Serbian name, Mihailovic. And he was just really appreciated because he was fighting against the German invasion. And he was actually on the cover of Time magazine for being such a great leader of the guerrillas that are fighting against the Germans. And then there was somebody else named Josip Tito, who was a Croat and, by the way, communist. Now, things went on through the war where Mihailovic, his reputation declined. Churchill thought a lot of him and then finally said, we're not going to have anything to do with him. Now, Churchill, I think, is one of the great leaders of the last century, certainly, was fooled. How did he get fooled? Well, see, here's the thing. Tito did not much care how many casualties his force took. So he would attack with Germans, not caring how many Yugoslavians, if you want to say it that way, died. Why? What was his goal? His goal was to have a communist nation under his control at the end of the war. So he didn't care if lots and lots of people died as long as it went his way. So life was absolutely meaningless to him. Mihailovic, the other way of looking at that, he led partisans, the Chetniks, against the Germans, but not in a way that would result in, for example, the Germans, if they had four or five German soldiers killed out on patrol, and here's a village of 500, they just wipe out the entire village, right? You know that's a fact, right? They've just killed hundreds of people because a few German soldiers were killed, and Tito didn't care. It's just, as long as he got the credit. In fact, there's a guy named James Klugman who was giving information through the, I'm going to say some alphabets here, OSS and OSE, SOE, excuse me, SOE. SOE is the Special Operations Executive, MI6 kind of people in England. MI6, think James Bond, right? And that's what that became. SOE and OSS is Office of Special Services, I believe. It became the CIA. So Klugman, who is known as a communist, is in the OSS and involved with the SOE, telling, giving the intelligence and saying, what wonderful things about Tito, but not so much about Mihailovich. So he went from being on the cover of Time magazine to being persona non grata in the FDR administration and in Churchill's administration. Why? Because the communists, by the way, there's something we ought to know as Christians. We said something from John Jay the other day. I believe it goes something like this. As a Christian nation, we should prefer and, in fact, insist that our leaders be Christian. Now, John Jay was the first Chief Justice, and it goes back that far. But that's wisdom. Because please hear this. If we're going to be children of God, we have to have leaders who are also following after God's own heart. Or we're going to be at odds. At least we should be. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? If somebody's not following after God's purposes, should we not oppose them? Well, there are some churches where I would have got a rousing amen out of that, but that's, I'll take that as silence as acquiescence. Okay? Because the truth of the matter is, that's what we're looking at. When we get down to it, the moral authority to ask people to go and put their lives at risk and to take the lives of others and maybe die, the moral authority, you and I don't have that unless we're saying, go and serve God's purposes. And our nation can't possibly have that unless our national leaders are leading us in God's purposes and God's will. And so, as we're considering these things, please understand, we have nothing whatsoever to do as children of God with communists except give them the gospel. Please understand something. I want you to think about it for just a second. About a half century ago, a fellow named Richard Nixon was president, and he went to China. Do you remember that? Some of you remember that. And it was in the winter. The first visit, as I recall, was in the winter. I never will forget, because the little old ladies were bent over clearing the street of ice and snow with little brooms about this long. Why? Because they were a third world nation economically, right? A half century ago, China was a third world nation. Now, where did they get all the trillions of dollars that make them now the second largest economy in the world? Have you checked the nation of origin on the things you have in your house? Those trillions of dollars have come largely from the American economy. Do you have a smartphone? Probably made in where? China, right? Okay. So there are lots of things going on that we need to connect. Yugoslavia, as it was called after the war and all the things settled out, was indeed what? A communist nation. The Cambridge Five, Kim Philby, you may remember reading about the Cambridge Five, they were communist sympathizers, and people knew it. There were communist sympathizers in FDR's administration. There were communist sympathizers in Churchill's administration, and they knew it, and it was fine because what? We were allied with Joseph Stalin, one of the biggest butchers in the history of the world. Why? Because we were so fearful of Adolf Hitler. Listen to me. Fear will make people appear to be fools. Was it foolish to align ourselves with Stalin just because of Hitler? Well, some people say, well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. How well did that go when we were giving weapons to the Mujahideen? Somebody named Bin Laden came out of that, I think, didn't he? Right? Yeah. I'm telling you, if we don't walk with God's vision, we look foolish as an individual. If you're not walking with God, you look foolish. You and I look foolish when we walk away from God. And as a nation, we look foolish when we walk away from God's principles. That's just the facts. And so Yugoslavia became sort of the southern fence post of the Iron Curtain. And Tito ruled with an iron fist until he died in 1970, whatever, I think. Was it 80? A few years ago. And the truth of the matter is, all that happened because there were communists who were lying because they are liars. Why should we not deal with them because they are liars? Why should we not deal with them because they've denied God? If you're not an atheist and a communist, I don't know how you work that. And so we have these opportunities to say, you know, we can go according to the world standards. Now please understand something. I mentioned something from World War II and Nixon's administration. There are still communist sympathizers in the United States. There are people who want to destroy what we are about. Can you say BLM? Antifa? And listen, they are widely respected in some circles. I'm just sharing with you. They are satanic in their impulse. Okay? So we are called to be in the family of God. And there's somebody else that we need to be careful about. Since we're there, radical Islamists, we should have nothing to do with the nation, for example, of Iran, besides giving them the gospel. That's it. Because they are, according to our State Department, for years and years, since way back when, 1979, they began being a terrorist sponsored nation. And they provided many of the IEDs that caused many of the casualties for our soldiers and allied soldiers over in the desert in recent years. They are our enemy. And by the way, that's okay because they're the enemy of God. I don't mean the Iranian people, I mean the nation. And so we have to see these things from a wise perspective. And we have to be changed. We have to be seeing that we are the family of God and not all people belong to that. I've mentioned on several occasions a fellow named Saul Alinsky. One of the things he said, how do you bring about a socialist nation? The first thing he said, because he wrote The Rules for Radicals, you're familiar with, from 1960, whatever came out. And he was very influential in the lives of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, some other folks. And the first thing you do to go take a nation to a socialist state is to control its health care. Wow, that sounds like history, doesn't it? The first thing you do is control its health care. And he goes on to list 12 other things, excuse me, 8 other things, 12 rules for radicals, 8 steps to making a socialist nation. The last thing is to engender class warfare, where you have this people hating this people, because they've got more than you've got, or they've got a different color than you got, or they've got this or that or that. Just as long as you can engender class warfare, you'll bring about the tension that will allow for a military intrusion that will require an authoritative government that will be what? Socialist. Do you see how that works? And so when we start seeing people out rioting in the streets, and by the way, I'm going to tell you, akin to my great respect for men and women in the uniform of the military is what I feel for the men and women who are in blue. And I saw a video the other day online where a woman is spitting in the face of one of our officers. Now listen to me. I'm a Christian. I'm a born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit preacher. And I'm going to tell you something. What needs to happen to her, since she likes to spit, is to have her front teeth knocked out so she can spit better. And the person who does that should be the cop she's spitting on. That doesn't sound much like a Christian, does it? I'm going to tell you something. You got to know your enemy. And if they're the enemy of God, you need to hate the enemy. And people are going to attack our defenders, they're attacking me. And I have no mercy for them. They're going to be out in the streets burning down cities, killing people. Who is that glorifying? Where does that impulse come from? Who is the prince of darkness? Who is it that is here to do nothing, according to Jesus, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy? It's Satan. And they're followers of Satan. And as long as we coddle them, as long as we're willing to cuddle up with them, they're going to do that. And they'll always be there. They'll always be there. Because brothers and sisters, we are the family of God, and we need to recognize that because we're in the family of God, there are people who hate us. Do not marvel, Jesus said, that they hate you. They hated me before they hated you. The second thing, in terms of changing, is living sacrifices. It says then, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now listen to me carefully. If we're not living in a sacrificial way, we can be sure we are not changing. And so we have stagnated right there. Okay, I am a child of God. He has made me by the blood of Christ, his own son. Okay, but I am not living sacrificially. I don't give to Christ, to God, what he is worthy of. In fact, I'm going to share this with you. And this is not talking about tithing and things like that, but that's a sign. What I'm talking about is a life that says, my life belongs to God. And either we believe that or we don't. And we live like that or we don't. There was a missions organization way back in the previous century, and there was you'd love to be a missionary like this, belonging to this, because it was depicted as an ox. There in the center is an ox. And on one side is a plow, on the other side is an altar. And the motto was, ready for either. How about that? So we can live sacrificially day by day, giving ourselves, as Paul said, I die daily, and Christ becomes more in me every day. And so he died daily, and then one day they said, we're going to take your head off. And he said, that's okay. I'm most of the way home anyway, right? And so he had no trouble when he was writing to Timothy. He says, you know, I am now ready to be offered. And so we live sacrificially because one day it is appropriate that we give the ultimate sacrifice. So if we're not living sacrificially, we can't see that the change is continuing. And then it says, the third step is that we are changed into reasonable servants. You know, the word for reasonable comes from the same word we use for logic. It's logical. What do you say to Isaiah? God said, come now, let us reason together. It's a reasonable thing. It's logical to be a servant, servant of God. That reasonable service, it says there, is the word service. Reasonable means logic, comes from logic, but service comes from the same word that is used for the service of a priest, the ministry of a priest. So we're to be logically serving as a priesthood. And so it is not unusual that we see people who say, I'm willing to give all, because I recognize there's something so much greater than myself. And so there are men and women whose memory we celebrate who have done that. Some have died very quickly in combat or otherwise, and some have just given their lives day by day for a cause that was just. You know, right? Isn't that what we just sang about? A cause? For his cause, it is just. Conquer we must, for his cause, it is just. Isn't that in the song? And that we just sang, I think, the anthem. So it is reasonable to do things that the world says is crazy, okay? And so we see a break from the world's view. It says, be not conformed to this world. Now, if you're conformed to this world, whose point of view do you have? Jesus said, Satan is the prince of this world. Jesus said that. So if you have the same point of view as this world, then, dear friend, you're talking about the change is not really taken, okay? Let's be honest, because if I view things the way the world does, then I'm viewing it from Satan's viewpoint. And that's the way it is. That's the way we need to understand that. And how is it that we know that? We know that because arrayed against us is a huge army, really, of people who have that worldview, who deny our God, who deny the authority of God in His universe. Isn't that amazing? I see these people who talk all the time with such great arrogance about, well, you know, you Christians don't have anything to prove the origin, your cosmological argument, the origin of the universe. Well, what is your proof? They never have proof themselves, do they? They say, oh, well, we got this mathematical equation. We just have to introduce this mysterious number in there. And so we break from the world's view. I'm going to remind you of Ephesians. It says that we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Because, you know, it is not, in Ephesians chapter 6, it is not likely that Satan's going to come up and shake your hand and say, well, hello, I'm Lucifer. I'm so glad to meet you. No, he's going to come up in some other form and tempt you to do something that if you think for just a moment the way that God has given you wisdom, oh, that's wrong. I shouldn't do that. You remember the Rolling Stones had that song, Pleased to Meet You, Hope You Know My Name. And they were singing about Satan, Lucifer. And not a lot of Rolling Stones fans here. Okay, so we'll move on. But it's goat's head soup if you ever want to tune in, okay? I don't recommend it, I'm just saying. So that was a previous iteration of Tim Crosby. So let me share this with you. We have to break from the world's point of view because it's Satan's, and Satan is constantly doing everything that he can to trick us to follow after, because after we've taken that first step, the next step is a little easier, and then, you know, we just keep following after, and then we find out, oh, wow, I'm way off the track here. And that's why when you have done all else in that same passage about taking on the whole armor of God, it is so that you can stand. What do you stand on? You stand on the Word of God. You stand on the truth, right? You stand for the cause of Christ. You stand because the truth of the matter is we don't have to go the right or the left. We're just standing in the path that God has for us, and the rest of the world is going to change. I want you to think about what was right 30 years ago in the minds of the majority, quote. And that's when we're talking about the truth. The truth is never more powerful, more truthful, because it's popular. Neither is it less powerful or truthful because it is unpopular. The truth is just the truth is the truth. We can either accept it and be blessed by it or deny it and be judged by it. That's what's going to happen. Okay? And so we break from the world standards and the world's view, and we are transformed. That word transformed is the word, we get the Greek word, we get metamorphosis. Think of a caterpillar becoming that beautiful butterfly. You'll be transformed. By what means? By the way, that transformation is the same one that they use for Jesus at the Transfiguration. That same Greek word was used there to describe his transformation as he is there transfigured into that beautiful glowing glory that he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. We are changed to be more and more like Christ. And how do you do that? It says, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? If you continue in my word, Jesus said, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We celebrate today our risen Savior. We acknowledge those who've come before us who said, there's something in this world, there's something much more precious than the life that I have, and I'm willing to put my life at jeopardy for that cause. I am so grateful for men and women like that. And we've had in our country millions. You know, we've had millions in our history, millions to take the oath and say, if it caused, now it's not in the oath, but it's understood, if it causes my death, it's understood. I'll go and do the mission as required, as a good soldier, a good warrior. Thank God for people like that. But dear friends, that is exactly what Christ is calling you to do. Whatever your age, whatever your physical ability, I was noticing my picture, I really ought to put a name on it, not so much so you'll know whose picture it is, just so I can recognize which one I'm supposed to take home. A few changes have occurred in the last 37 years. But no matter what our physical status, Christ is still calling us to serve. And the only way that we do that is by standing in the truth and say, whatever else you say out there, those are lies. Please hear this. Now, you've heard me say this 100,000 times, I guess. The people of the world are liars because they're following their father, who is the author of all lies, the father of all lies. And so when you see something in the media and all these things, and it sounds like a lie, guess what? It is. But if you listen to what? If you listen to the lie long enough, you believe it. Because you're not transforming your mind by the you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Word of God. You're listening to these things over here. And there are many people who never read the Word of God. And they listen to the lies and they say, yes, we'll get out in the streets and we'll riot and we'll steal and we'll kill. Why? Because that's what their father does. And so, yeah, we have to be warriors. We are soldiers of the cross. Will you make that commitment of your life to that reasonable service today? Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come with our praise. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. We thank you for giving yourself. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of serving in such a noble way. We ask you, Lord, to help us to live for you. For we pray in the name of our Savior Christ. Amen.